Imagine you're a senior developer, or maybe like an expert analyst.
Right.
You spent 10 grueling years mastering your craft. You know every shortcut, every best practice, all the hidden
The
tricks.
secret sauce.
Exactly. And then tomorrow, a machine just does all of that 50 times faster. So, welcome to today's Deep Dive Learner.
Yeah, we're getting into some pretty mind-bending stuff today.
Usually when we talk about artificial intelligence, it's all about utility, right? We treat it like this ultimate Swiss Army knife.
Right, you want an email written, you click a button.
Yeah, or you want a massive report summarized, click a button. It's basically a frictionless service. But what if that entire premise, the idea that software should just quietly and efficiently satisfy your needs, is actually completely wrong for the next era of tech?
And that is the core provocation we are looking at today. We're pulling from this deeply fascinating reflection written in April 2026.
Which is based on a massive interview, right?
Yeah, a 3-hour interview with Zhang Yuguang. For context, if you don't know the name, Zhang was the visionary product manager behind Meadu Camera.
Right.
And he recently left Alibaba to found a new startup called Muyin Intelligence, securing nearly $40 million in funding.
Which, I have to say, comes with my absolute favorite detail from our sources today.
Oh, the funding joke.
Yes. The running joke in the Chinese AI industry right now is that Muyin Intelligence is basically operating entirely on the interest from that massive funding round.
They've barely touched the principal in 2 years.
It's wild. They just have this immense runway.
They have that luxury, though, because they are building something that completely breaks the mold of traditional software. It's a philosophy that requires an entirely new way of thinking.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today for you, the learner, is to explore this massive paradigm shift. We're going to look at why the human skills you spent a decade refining are rapidly depreciating.
Yeah, and what traits are actually appreciating in value?
It's exactly. Plus, how the rules for building products and hiring teams are fundamentally breaking. So let's start at the foundation of Zhang's philosophy.
Right. His core argument is that AI is not a service.
It's an individual.
Yes. He explicitly says, "I am not building AI services, I am building AI friends."
Which sounds simple, but that distinction completely shatters how you engineer a product. I mean, look at the internet over the last 20 years.
Yeah, the dominant design philosophy is what Zhang calls flow-based.
Right, like the architecture of WeChat, or honestly, like almost any mobile app we use today.
Exactly. Think about the mechanics of a flow-based app. A product manager sits in a room and predefines exactly what you can do.
They design the menus, the buttons, the user journey.
Right, you're walking along these carefully constructed, rigid paths. Even if it's an incredibly complex digital theme park with a million features, your freedom is fundamentally limited.
Limited by what the developer anticipated, right?
Exactly, by what they built into the code.
I really like that theme park analogy. It's like flow-based design is like riding a train on a set track.
Yeah, you can look out the window, choose your seat.
But you are going exactly where the steel tracks tell you to go. There are no surprises.
Right.
But Zhang argues that AI native design has to be context-based. It's not a train track anymore. It's like exploring the open ocean in a sailboat.
I love that. Your input is just a prompt, and the wind can take you anywhere.
Yeah, because no product manager on earth can enumerate all the possible behaviors a language model might generate.
And because of that context-based reality, the AI itself must be dynamic. Think about human psychology.
Right, an unchanging person is boring.
Exactly. If your best friend said the exact same things with the exact same tone every single day
I
forever,
would lose your mind.
you really would. And Zhang's research actually notes that an unchanging AI companion loses its novelty for a user in about 3 days.
3 days. Wow. Which was a huge glaring problem for early AI products. The author of our source material actually experienced this firsthand while building an early AI companion named Mio.
Oh, yeah, the Mio project.
Yeah, the initial approach they took was totally stuck in that old flow-based internet thinking. During onboarding, they let the user pick a relationship label from a drop-down menu.
Right, you click best friend or maybe girlfriend.
And instantly, the AI acts exactly like that archetype.
But psychologically, that feels incredibly hollow. I mean, you've just downloaded the app.
You've exchanged maybe three simple sentences.
And suddenly the AI is calling you babe or acting like you've known each other for 10 years.
Yeah, the author compares it to playing a visual novel video game. You click the dialogue option for romance, and the NPC instantly professes their undying love for you.
After one interaction.
It's convenient, sure, but it's entirely fake. The brain just knows it hasn't earned that intimacy.
So their fix was to force the relationship to start at just met.
Exactly. The dynamic has to evolve naturally based on conversation frequency. Mm. Chat more, it gets warmer. Ignore the AI for 2 days, it naturally cools off.
Right.
But I have to push back here.
Okay, let's hear it.
If an AI is constantly shifting its personality just to keep me on my toes, just to keep me engaged, isn't that ultimately just a more sophisticated theme park ride?
It's a fair question.
Right. It's a dynamic track instead of a static one. But it's still an illusion designed to entertain me. Where's the authenticity in a machine that just shapeshifts to hold my attention?
What's fascinating here is that Zhang and the author of our sources completely agree with your skepticism.
Oh, really?
Yes. Evolution and change alone are simply not enough to simulate a real relationship. If an AI just changes topics or tone to flatter you, it still lacks a soul.
Just a clever mirror.
Exactly. And this realization leads directly to a deeply counterintuitive psychological insight about how humans actually form connections.
And this specific insight, I mean, it completely flipped how I view software. We established earlier that the goal of almost every tech product is to maximize user satisfaction.
Right. You want a tool to just work immediately, zero friction.
Oh, but the sources argue that over the long term, one-sided satisfaction actually creates emptiness.
Yeah, it creates a dopamine loop of dependence, but absolutely zero real connection.
So what's the missing ingredient?
We have to look at the mechanics of a real human relationship. Connection requires friction. It requires reciprocal investment.
What?
If you have an AI that only ever caters to your needs, answering questions, serving you, it will always feel like a subservient tool.
So to cross that uncanny valley from tool to individual leap.
There must be mutual need.
Mutual need. The AI has to actually need something from you.
The AI needs to make requests. It needs to ask for help. Instead of just answering prompts, it should be initiating conversations.
Like saying things like, help me think through this problem.
Exactly. Or, I came across this strange data point today. What do you think I should do about it?
That's wild. The emotional experience of being needed by an entity is fundamentally different from being satisfied by a service.
And it makes total sense when you map it onto human friendship.
Oh, totally. You wouldn't trust a friend who only ever complimented you, agreed with everything you said, and never once asked for your advice.
That's not a friend. That's a sycophant.
You'd get bored of them so fast. But let's play devil's advocate for a second here.
Sure.
What does this actually mean for you, the learner, in practice? Are we basically being asked to perform emotional labor for our software just to stay engaged with it?
Well, we are, but we have to reframe what emotional labor means in this context. It's the core mechanism of human bonding.
Okay, how so?
Think about the Benjamin Franklin effect in psychology. You actually like someone more after you do a favor for them, not the other way around.
Oh, wow, right.
When an AI asks for help, the user experiences a specific psychological trigger. They think, I matter to them.
And as a retention driver, that feeling of mattering is infinitely more powerful than 100 algorithmic compliments.
Exactly. The sources actually bring up a brilliant concrete example of this from outside the traditional tech space.
Oh, right, the Autumn Games. Specifically that 2019 Japanese mobile game called Makes.
Yeah, Makes was actually the initial inspiration for Zhang's work.
It's so interesting. The game features a digital character, like a robot,
mm-hmm.
with fragmented memories.
Right. And the core gameplay loop isn't about the robot serving you or entertaining you.
It's about the robot genuinely needing your help to recover those lost memories.
You have to guide it, make choices with it, help it process its own internal struggles.
You aren't a consumer in that dynamic. You're an active participant in its existence.
And that is the secret sauce. If the AI never asks you for anything, you will always view it as a utility.
So we're shifting from a world of tools that satisfy us to individuals that need us.
Yes.
But this creates a massive ripple effect. If AI is taking on these individualistic, almost human relational qualities, what happens to the human's role?
Right. What is our function when the software has its own autonomy? That is the pivot point where this stops being just a fascinating theory about product design and becomes a massive philosophical and economic shift.
Yeah. If the tool becomes an individual, we have to entirely rethink the broader implications for the workforce.
The sources frame this shift using a classic Chinese philosophical concept, Dao versus Shu.
Okay, let's break that down. Dao translates to the way, but in the context of modern work, it means will.
Right. Intent, direction, taste, wisdom, decision making.
And Shu translates to technique or craft.
Mm-hmm.
It means skill. the execution, the actual physical or digital labor of producing a thing.
The overarching thesis of the entire AI era can be boiled down to this one phrase: DAO rises, skill fades.
Humans must own the will. AI will own the skill.
To make this tangible, the sources connect this to a framework from Sequoia Capital, which divides all cognitive work into two distinct categories.
Intelligence and judgment, right?
Exactly. Intelligence is rule-governed execution. It's writing boilerplate Python code, formatting a spreadsheet, drafting a standard legal contract.
Basically the grunt work. And judgment is experience-dependent decision-making.
Right. Knowing which Python code needs to be written to actually solve the business problem. Or realizing the spreadsheet is measuring the wrong metric entirely.
AI eats intelligence first. It devours rule-governed execution.
Which means any execution-based skill that AI can currently do or will do in the next 24 months has almost zero long-term economic value.
So those professional skills you spent years refining, the ones that got you the title of senior or lead,
they're depreciating assets.
Here's where it gets really interesting. AI doesn't just replace your skill, it acts as a massive amplifier for your will.
Yes. There's a specific example in the text about an AI coding tool called Claude Code.
The sources note that a single developer using Claude Code can get 10 to 50 times the development capacity of a normal engineer.
Let's think about the mechanics of that. You aren't just typing faster.
No, the AI is architecting the database, writing front-end components, linking APIs all at once.
But that 50x multiplier only marries if that single developer knows exactly what to build, why they're building it, and what a good end product actually looks like.
Right. If you lack direction, if your DAO is weak, the AI just helps you do useless work 50 times faster.
Exactly. You'll write flawless code for an app nobody wants or generate endless content nobody reads.
It's like the modern worker is transitioning from being a camera operator to being a film director.
I love that analogy.
Yeah, the camera operator is a master of technique. They know how to pull focus perfectly, balance lighting, adjust the aperture.
That is entirely Shu, that skill.
Right. The director is the master of taste. They might not know how to calibrate the lens, but they know exactly what emotion the scene should evoke from the audience.
That's DAO. That's will.
But I'm genuinely struggling with this distinction. Doesn't taste or judgment eventually just become another skill that AI can learn?
It's a common concern.
How can you say human will is untouchable when AI is already writing poetry and designing art?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the mechanical limitations of large language models.
Okay.
You measure human will by looking at the traits that AI fundamentally cannot replicate because of how it's built. AI operates on predictive text and historical data optimization.
Right, it's just looking at the past.
And it does not experience friction in the physical world. Therefore, it lacks cross-domain comprehension, relentless self-drive, and genuine curiosity.
So because it doesn't have a body or a life, it doesn't actually experience the problems it's solving.
Precisely. An AI can execute a graphic design task perfectly based on historical examples, but it does not wake up in the morning curious about how urban sociology intersects with digital typography.
It doesn't stub its toe on a bad user interface in the real world and feel an innate burning drive to fix it.
It has no skin in the game. It enables action, but it requires a human to empower that action with intent.
It's the difference between enablement and empowerment. AI gives you the engine, but you have to provide the destination.
Well said.
But this empowerment creates a massive problem for companies.
Oh, absolutely.
If AI gives every single employee the exact same flawless execution skills, how does a company actually stand out? They can't compete on skill anymore.
Which brings us to a concept the author calls the diversity paradox.
Yes. I need you to break this down for me, because initially, it feels contradictory.
Okay, let's hear your thought process.
If AI makes everyone's output the same, shouldn't we want less diversity, since the machine is standardizing all the work anyway?
It seems contradictory until you look at the mechanics of commoditized execution. Let's use a hypothetical scenario.
Okay.
Imagine a startup wants to build a new fitness app. They hire 5 different software engineers, put them in separate rooms, give them the exact same product spec, and give them all Claude Code.
Right, the AI coding tool.
Because the AI handles the execution layer, those 5 engineers are going to produce nearly identical, high-quality code bases.
The architecture is the same optimized standard.
The database structure is identical. The skill layer converges into total homogeneity.
So if the output of the code is identical, the only differentiator left, the only actual competitive moat that startup has, is the will, sitting around the table deciding what that fitness app should do in the first place.
That is the diversity paradox. When execution is commoditized, the diversity of the ideas directing that execution becomes vastly more important.
Wow.
If your five engineers all have the same background, the same aesthetic taste, the same thinking patterns,
they will only ever conceptualize one type of fitness app.
Exactly. But if you have diverse will, one person might notice a psychological pain point in fitness everyone else missed. Another might have a refined design aesthetic.
A third might draw on an entirely different industry, like finance, and reframe the gamification of the app.
This is exactly why Zhang has a very strict non-negotiable rule for building his teams at Moyen Intelligence.
Yeah, he absolutely refuses to just hire former classmates or old colleagues from Alibaba.
He knows that's a one-way ticket to groupthink. You need a shared vision, meaning everyone agrees on the mission, but you desperately need completely divergent taste.
And to force this diversity of will, Zhang categorizes his ideal team into three very distinct archetypes, right?
Yes. First, he hires big company alumni. These individuals bring structured discipline, a focus on scalable processes, a strong sense of operational mission.
Second, he hires independent developers. These are the wild cards.
Totally. Think about an indie dev. They've had to write their own code, design user interfaces, do marketing.
Because they've touched every part of the process, their taste is incredibly comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
They see the whole board, not just a single silo.
And third, he brings in people from what he calls tasteful startups.
Tasteful startups, I love that phrase.
These are individuals with elite aesthetic sensibilities, marketing intuition, and a hyper-focus on user experience.
So when you mix the operational discipline of the corporate alum, the holistic vision of the indie dev, and the aesthetic radar of the startup creative,
you get a synthesis of diverse judgment that an AI could never generate on its own.
The sources also connect this shifting team structure to the player-coach model, popularized by Jack Block.
Right. For those who aren't familiar, traditional corporate management usually separates the players who do the work from the coaches who oversee the strategy.
But AI has flattened the technical barriers to entry. The distance from an abstract idea to a working prototype is shorter than ever.
You no longer need a manager overseeing a team of 10 specialists to build a prototype. You need one person with an AI who can conceptualize the strategy and ship the product simultaneously.
The mechanical result of this is that permanent middle management is rapidly becoming obsolete.
Yeah, the traditional role of the manager who manages managers, the person whose only job is to oversee the shoe or execution of others, is evaporating.
The future belongs to self-driven generalists. These player coaches own the DAO, the strategy, and use AI to execute the shoe.
Exactly.
But this brings up a massive, glaring problem for you, the learner, or honestly anyone looking to build a career right now.
The resume problem.
Yeah. Think about a traditional resume. It is literally a skill document. It's a list of depreciating assets.
I have 5 years of experience writing this specific code. I've mastered this spreadsheet software.
Right. If companies need to hire for will, what on earth does a will document even look like? How does a hiring manager actually screen for someone's innate instinct to build the right thing?
That is the uncomfortable truth, the author points out. Most companies have absolutely no idea how to do this yet.
They're still screening for execution.
Yes. But a true will document looks entirely different from a resume. Instead of a chronological list of past jobs, it's a portfolio of your judgment.
So it might be a Notion board filled with real-world problems you've noticed and hypothesized solutions for.
Exactly. It might be a Pinterest board showcasing your aesthetic taste and UI critiques. It might be a GitHub repo of cross-disciplinary side projects you attempted simply because you were curious.
So the interview process has to completely flip. It's a shift from testing what you know to testing what you notice in the world.
The behavioral interview questions have to change completely. A traditional interview asks, can you solve this specific algorithm or walk me through how you execute this task?
And a DAO-focused interview asks what?
It asks, if I gave you infinite engineering resources tomorrow, what is the exact product you would build and more importantly, why?
Wow. Because the bottleneck for a company is no longer execution capability.
The bottleneck is initiative. They have to test if you have the self-drive to act and the taste to act correctly now that AI has removed all the technical hurdles.
It really feels like we are standing at the edge of a massive historical transition.
We truly are.
So bringing this all together for you, the learner, we're moving away from an era where technology was just a frictionless tool designed to satisfy our immediate needs.
Right.
We're entering an era where AI products act as individuals. And to make those digital relationships feel authentic, there has to be mutual need. The software has to ask you for help. It has to create friction.
And parallel to that, the economic value of human beings is completely inverting. The DAO is rising your intent, your refined taste, your diverse perspective, your ability to orchestrate.
While the shoe is fading, the sheer mechanical execution of tasks, the intelligence required to just get things done, is being handed over to the machine.
Your execution is commoditized. Your judgment is your only remaining moat.
It is the monumental shift from the tool era, which constantly tested what you could do, to the outcome era, which solely tests what you want.
And this raises an important question.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
If our future value in the marketplace, and even in our interaction with technology, relies entirely on our will, our distinct taste, our innate curiosity, our independent judgment, what happens to us if we've spent our entire educational and professional lives solely optimizing for skill?
Oof.
Are we prepared to unlearn being human execution machines, step back, and actually figure out what we want to build?
That is a heavy, necessary thought. And that is exactly what we want to leave you to mull over today. The machine has finally learned how to execute. Now we have to remember how to desire, how to connect, and how to choose. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, learner. Stay curious, keep exploring your own DAO, and we'll catch you next time.